Well, feast time is definitely in the air. Brethren are packing and making preparations, and I think San Antonio, San Antonio, Austin, and Waco, I think we all deserve this feast because we had a pretty rough year this year. Not so much rough, but we had a lot of things go on, a lot of changes, and I think we need this time to rest and hear some good message and good fellowship. It was a couple of weeks ago, I was at an outing, and we were playing horseshoes. And I was teamed up with David Sanchez, and I was playing against Jeff Lockhart. And I don't know if anybody here knows Dale Piper. You know Dale Piper? Well, it was getting dark, and it got to a point where you could barely see the pin. And Mr. Piper started singing, "I can't see the pin, I can't see the pin." But every time he threw the horseshoe, it was ping, ping, ping. He kept hitting the pin and scoring. Now, I'm not sure if it was Jeff Lockhart or Mr. Piper, but one of them hit a ringer and they beat me and Jeff Sanchez. And I chalked it up to the fact that Mr. Piper had night vision. The gift of night vision. Brethren, all of us have insecurities. All of us have things we wish were different. All of us have things that didn't work out the way we thought they should. And all of us would like to experience the talent or skills we see other people have. Like, I'd like to have night vision like Mr. Piper. Just kidding. But God made each one of us different, gave us different skills, different talents, and different gifts. And no one in this room has the same DNA. No one in the world has the same DNA as you. You are unique. And today my message, I'm going to talk on the subject of gifts. Spiritual gifts and physical gifts, which are totally different gifts. And yet they are often confused. To support my message, I'm going to reference both, because too often we try to do what other people do, and we neglect to use our skills and our talents and our gifts. And by nature, brethren, we are competitive people, and that's not going to change. By nature, we are competitive. But you have to find out what works for you. You have to find out what God called you to do. What are your gifts? Go with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4. And we'll begin reading in verse 9. Peter here is talking about spiritual gifts. And in verse 9, he says, "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracle of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So, brethren, you have been given a gift. It may be dormant, but you have been given a gift. Moses said to God, "I do not speak well. I can't talk to the Israelites because I stutter. I don't speak eloquently." He said, "Please send someone else." In other words, he was saying to God, "It's not my gift. I can't do it." But God used him anyway. And the same with Jonah. Jonah was commissioned to go and warn an ungodly people in Nineveh. But Jonah took off running from God. And his actions spoke volumes. And he too was saying to God, it's not my gift. I can't do it. But God used him anyway. And many of us feel the same way, especially if we feel shortchanged in our gifts and in our talents. I can't run that fast. I can't jump that high. Well, maybe you can't. But have you explored your gifts? Do you appreciate what God has given you? Scripture said, He has given you a gift. We work so hard trying to match other people's gifts and talents to the point that you're not happy. And there are those who can't come close to the skills that you already have. And yet they're much happier using what they have. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard the phrase or used the phrase, use it or lose it? That's the title of my message today, use it or lose it. And it's a fairly common saying, and normally when it's used, it's requesting someone to use what they have before it's gone. Brethren, you have to use what you have. You have to use what God gave you. You cannot fight in someone else's armor. You cannot use someone else's talent. You cannot borrow their situation. You can't do it. And if you don't explore to find out what works for you, then you will find yourself worrying about what's not working in your life. God gave you a gift. Now, God may not give you everything that He has given someone else. He may not do that. But He will give to you accordingly. Most people don't even realize the gifts that God has given them. Most people don't even realize that they can accomplish much more in life. They don't realize it. They just go on in life just barely surviving. And they never take chances. They never allow God to stretch them. People just settle for whatever life presents way too often. Brethren, go with me if you will to the book of Romans. Romans 12. And we'll begin in verse 3. And this is Paul's letter to the brethren in Rome. And again, he's referencing spiritual gifts. Romans 12 and verse 3. We'll begin in verse 3. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, individually members of one another." And verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." And brethren, God can give you every single one of these gifts. But the next one, verse 6, if you don't exercise verse 6, it's all for nothing. Verse 6 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." Brethren, we've all been given different gifts from God, physical and spiritual. And if we, it's what we do with them that counts. Now, I want to share with you some information about three individuals that were gifted and talented with physical gifts, and each gifted by God accordingly. And each one of them became prominent using what they had. But if you look at their situations, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder, how did they do it? How did they do it? If you're 25 years of age or younger, you may not know the first two. Spud Webb. Spud Webb was 5'6" tall. How did he become the NBA's most gifted, one of the NBA's most gifted basketball players at 5'6" tall? How did he make it as a starter in the NBA at 5'6" tall? How did he win the NBA dunking contest at 5'6" tall? How did he do it? How did he do it? He was a midget! And I probably shouldn't say that too loud because I'm only 2 inches taller than him. But how did he do it? And how about Wilma Rudolph? Born prematurely at 4.5 pounds, she became paralyzed caused by the polio virus. How did she become the fastest woman in the world in the 1960s? How did she win gold in the Olympics? How did she do it? She was crippled. How did she do it? Now, the next one everyone should know, and if you don't, I will be shocked. How about George Strait? A small town country boy, had buck teeth. And I know this because he was raised on a farm, on a ranch, I'm sorry, in Pearsall, Texas, and that's where I'm from. How did he become a country music icon? How did George Strait do it? Small town, 3,000 people, he is a music icon today. How did he do it? How did these three totally different people from different backgrounds, different cultures, how did they do it? George Strait can't sing. I mean, George Strait can't play basketball. Spud Webb can't sing. How did they do it? I'll tell you how they did it. Brethren, they used their God-given gifts. They used what God gave them. And brethren, you cannot discover your potential if you don't use what you have. Their lives could have been totally different. They could have said, it's not my gift. If they would have said, that'd be no George Strait. There'd be no Spud Webb at 5'6" if they would have said, it's not my gift. And they could have wasted their time whining because they were not tall enough or because they were crippled or because they had buck teeth, but they didn't. Now, my message today is not about fame and fortune. It's about using the physical gifts and the spiritual gifts that you have been given to glorify God. I don't know if Spud Webb or any of these folks used their gifts and resources to glorify God. I don't know. But that's what it's all about. A young lady named Chloe Chanel shared this story, and I'll share it with you. It's a story about a father. I don't know if it's her father. It's about a father who was blessed in so many ways. He had an awesome family. A great job. He was highly skilled and talented. But he rarely spends time with his family. His days revolved around work, business, and more work. And he even worked weekends. And he was constantly traveling. And one day he was about to leave home. And he was surprised to see his oldest son awake that early. Dad, can I ask you a question? Sure, son, what is it? Dad, how much money do you make in an hour? His father got a little upset because the boy was up so early. So he said, why don't you go back to bed instead of asking me silly questions? But the little boy insisted. And so Dad gave in. Son, I make $30 in an hour. And he said it just to get the conversation over. Oh, said the boy. Well, Dad, can I borrow 20 bucks? Thinking his son would like to buy a new toy. So he shouted at his son, telling him, I'm not working just for you to buy toys. Son, go back to bed. And without a word, without saying a word, the little boy went back to bed as he was instructed. And before the dad went off to his office, he was able to cool off a bit. He approached his son, thinking he might need to buy some school supplies, so he gave him the money. But he soon found out that the little boy already had a few bucks stashed away under his pillow, because the boy started counting his money. So the father said, "Why do you need more money, son?" And the boy's next statement was a shocker. He said, "Dad, it's because I don't have enough. I only have $10 that I saved from my allowance. And now that you've given me $20, I now have enough to buy 1 hour of your time." He said, "All I want, Dad, is to spend a little time with you. That's all that I want." And sometimes we allow the enemy to sidetrack us, and we use our physical gifts, our talents, our time, and our skills for selfish gain. And Paul tells us in Romans to be sober in our judgment and not to think more highly of ourselves. Because if we do, we not only put God on the back burner, but our relationship with our family suffers greatly. This was a prime example, brethren, of time being misused, which we're all capable of. And this man definitely was at the top of his game at work. He was certainly using his gifts and time to benefit his employer and himself. But he was about to lose his family simply because his job became top priority. Brethren, God has given each of us unique abilities, personalities, experiences, and talents that shape us into the person we are today. We have to use our gifts, whether physical or spiritual, to glorify God. Life is a God-given, precious gift all in itself. And we know that life offers no guarantees, so you don't want to go through life wasting what God has given you, and especially your time. Time is one thing that we all have in common, regardless of race, creed, gender, age, or opinion. This world we live in, imagine it like a clockmaker's shop with millions and millions of clocks ticking. For some folks, life is just starting. And for some, it's half over. And for others, life is running down and will soon be stopped. Brethren, if you think that your gifts, whether physical or spiritual, if you think they were simply given to you to make a lot of money, to fade away and retire in the sunset, then you've missed the point of your life. I'm not saying you can't make money, you can't make a living, but you've missed the point if that's all it is to you. God gave you your gifts to benefit others. And God gave others their gifts to benefit you and me. Now, maybe when you were younger, you encountered some discouragement. And now you're afraid to use your gifts. Maybe you feel that your skills and talents are not appreciated. And if you feel this way, then you can probably sympathize with the third servant in the parable of the talents. Go with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and we'll begin in verse 14. Matthew 25 and verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered them his goods to them," meaning he set them up. He gifted them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 talents besides them. Verse 21, His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, meaning let's celebrate or have a celebration. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 talents besides, 2 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then, 24. He who had received the 1 talent said, look, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10. And for everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you see, brethren, I mean, this is familiar. I mean, I can remember when I was a little boy, how come he got more than me? How come he got 2 and I only got 1? That's familiar. This is what we all have done. If we don't use what we have been given, it will be taken away. Use it or lose it. And this word, brethren, the word talent, represents all of the opportunities that God has given his people to serve him. And if we don't, this parable teaches us to invest everything that God has given us for his glory. If we want to be faithful servants to Christ, we have to use what he gives us. We can't compare what God gives us to what he gives to someone else. Brethren, the gifts that God gives are always good. God gives according to his grace. And he knows you, and he knows me, and he gave to you, and he gave to me according to our ability. God cannot give bad gifts because God, he is God. And he allows us to decide what to do with the gifts that he gives us. Lucifer made his wrong choice. He became Satan, the adversary. And now he works to influence us to make wrong choices. And he wants us to neglect and abuse the gifts that God gives us. And too often, brethren, we don't stay vigilant long enough to see and to catch the manipulation of Satan. We cave into the ways of this world. Brethren, we are faced with a hateful and angry and powerful enemy. I mean, he's powerful. And he's a marketing genius, brethren. And the world follows him and they follow his ways. And thankfully, as humans, we can be forgiven of our weaknesses and our errors because of God's greatest gift, which is his Son. And Christ came to die as our Savior, and we need to constantly remind ourselves of this wonderful gift. And if we should ever lose our sense of appreciation of God's blessings, then Satan wins, and God will allow us to stumble. We're all part of the body of Christ, and each part matters, and there are no insignificant people in the family of God. You are designed to serve God. He is testing you and he's testing me right now today to see what we are going to do with the gifts that he has given us. We have to graciously receive the gifts that God gives us. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. We can still use the gifts that God gives us. Even if we're sick, God can still use us. Sometimes we feel like we have plenty of time to get our life in order, and especially if you're young. I know because I've been young and I've got two young ones. But the truth of the matter is, life offers no guarantees. When God created you, He gave you everything you need. Don't waste your time waiting for the perfect time. A few years ago, brethren, there was a movie called The Bucket List. And many of you have seen the movie. And I've used this story before. It was about a man with terminal cancer who had less than a year to live. And he wrote a bucket list of things that he wanted to do before he died. And a rich friend of his agreed to fund the list. So off they go, and they did things like drive in a Shelby Mustang, skydiving, and visit the Stonehenge and the pyramids. But the writer of the movie didn't script it to be a religious-based movie. It was written to affirm that you only live once. So why not go out in style? That's what it was written for. But it clarified something else for me. The best time of life is right now. Use it or lose it. So, brethren, whatever talent or skills you have, if you're not using them, they are diminishing. You snap your finger, there goes a second. You snap your finger again, there goes another second. It's history. It's gone that quick. Life is happening right now. So many people have gone to their grave, and they never discovered the wonderful gifts that God gave them. And sometimes it's because of fear. And you have to remember that God makes no mistakes. God gave you your gifts. He gave you and He gave me what we can handle. And it's your choice, brethren, to use it or lose it. Question I have for you right now is, if you knew, like the guys knew in the movie, that your time was up, if you knew your time was up, what would you do? Because I'm telling you, you snap your finger, that second is gone. I've snapped my fingers 3 times. They're gone that quick. Time moves in a relentless progression. And as the earth rotates, seasons change. New life replaces the old. And to use an old cliche, time waits for no man. Time is one of the life's greatest values, and we have to exchange a block of this precious, never-to-be-recovered gift of time for everything we do, every single thing. And if we are truly striving to be Christ-like, then we have to use what we have in a way that's pleasing to God. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15, Paul's letter, he's writing to the brethren, and in verse 15 he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Paul is delivering a wake-up call right here to use our gifts, to use our time wisely. Brethren, there are things that can and will rob you of your time. Things that range from high quality to low-life distractions. And they all cause us to be preoccupied with things that have no spiritual value whatsoever. And Paul tells us in Colossians to set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. Brethren, now is the time for us to use our precious gifts. Now is the time that we need to walk in obedience to God. We don't know when Christ will return, but God does. We don't know the extent of time that we have left on this earth, but God knows. And believe me, it's a set time. It's a date. I read somewhere that life is made up of two dates and a dash. You have a date of birth, and you have a dash, and you have a date of death. Brother, what are you doing with your dash? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your gifts? Time is something that you cannot tie an anchor to or slow it down. You cannot capture time and put it in a bottle to use it later. It just doesn't respond that way. Christ had an amazing attitude towards time in his short time here, 33 years. He knew exactly what he was called to accomplish with his life. And there were many things that he could have done with his life because Christ's gifts are unlimited. But he knew it wasn't about him. And he knew that. And in closing, brethren, what does all this mean to you and to me? It means that God has given different gifts to each one of us. Spiritual gifts, physical gifts. He gave you exactly what you can handle. He gave me exactly what I can handle. It means that life is not all about you and all about me. It's about using and sharing the gifts and talents that God has given you to serve others. That's what it's all about. And the truth about life is not found in the resolutions we make or in our good intentions. It's found in the things that we do. And one of the things that's brought out in the parable of the talent story is the fact that these people recognized that they were given a great amount of gifts. They recognized that. And those who appreciated it, what did they do? They got busy. They went to work. All except the one guy, the one bonehead. He got an attitude. He said, "You know, I was just given one measly talent, and that's not significant enough." So he went and sat on it. He buried it. He did not use his gift. There's an important lesson here, brethren, that we need to understand, and that is sitting back and complaining because you did not get the gift someone else got. You didn't get as much as someone else got. It's not going to force God's hand just because you're complaining. And brethren, if you're at this point, if this is where you are right now, then let me ask you this. Do you think you would have used the 5 talents if the others were given 15 and 20? No. You would have done the same thing. You would have had an attitude. Why did they get 15 and 20 and I only got 5? And you would have buried your 5. Which one of these guys would you be aligned with when Christ returns? Brethren, don't bury your gifts and talent. Invest what God has graciously given you. Use what works for you. Use it or lose it.